There are many versions of this story spread all over the country. Most of them start with John Henry lifting his father's hammer in one hand, and apparently his first words were that this hammer would be the death of him. While it varies a little from version to version, all 200 versions do have this premonition somewhere near the beginning of the ballad and his life. When he reached his 30s, John was a massive man, and the former slave was a powerful asset as a steel driving man. Steel drivers used heavy hammers to drive metal rods into stone. These rods are held in place by people called shakers, who also swept away debris between swings. Needless to say, both of these jobs were extremely dangerous, and the safety issues were not improved by the fact that the holes drilled by those two-man teams were then filled with dynamite in order to blow tunnels through mountains for the railway company. While John's wife, Polly Ann, was said to drive steel as well as a man, John himself was a legend. He's described as a mountain of a man who could swing a 20-pound hammer in each hand while drilling. It was said that his hammer echoed through the tunnels like thunder and his sparks flashed like lightning. He was also apparently a pretty phenomenal banjo player. Unrelated, but I thought it was a kind of interesting factoid. One day, a salesman came to the camp and offered to sell the foreman a new steam-powered drill. His claim was that one of these machines could do the work of 12 steel-driving men. That would save 24 regular paychecks for the company, each steel driver and his shaker. The foreman countered that they had John Henry, and no machine could outwork him. They didn't need the steam drill, and John agreed. It was wrong to deprive his teammates of their living just to try out this new machine. They weren't some charity case. They were hard-working, high-performing men. John intended to prove it. He would race the steam drill to build a tunnel. If he won, his team would keep their jobs. So the teams were set up. Ever confident, John smirked at his shaker and warned him to be careful to stay out of the way of his hammer since he would be swinging like a man on fire. The two had been working together for a long time, and John's joking confidence probably helped to put him at ease. And they were off. John swung his hammer like never before. Dust caught on his sweat and coated his body, eventually dripping off from him, leaving tiny trails that soon also clung to a fine coat of dust. The shaker shook his head to clear the cloud of dust from his eyes as he glanced up at his teammate, whom even he could barely see in the debris. The men worked together with a faster version of their usual friendly, steady rhythm. The urgency of the two men was furious and silent in contrast to the loud, dirty, difficult work. After 9 feet of drilling, the steam engine revealed its greatest flaw. The dust thrown by the drilling process clogged up its works, and the machine completely froze up and ground to a screeching halt. The men cheered in victory. Man was mightier than machine, and they would get to keep their jobs today. They tried to call to John, but he was too focused and could not hear them over his work. No one could reach him through the choking dust, and he hammered his way through 14 feet of rock. On the other side of the tunnel, John collapsed into Polly Ann's arms. He had won the battle, but lost the war, and the great John Henry had pushed himself to exhaustion, and his heart couldn't take it anymore. He had given his life to ensure the future of his teammates and literally left the machine in his dust. Part of the tragedy of this story, and why it tends to pluck at my heartstrings, is because many versions, such as the Disney version, are told from Polly Ann's perspective. The mixture of sorrow and pride she feels for her husband really makes this story hit hard. It's a very real-world feel to it, and this could be because, according to some scholars, unlike Pecos Bill and Paul Bunyan, John Henry may have been a real man. The steam drill race may have actually happened. The Ballad of John Henry is considered the first blues songs, one of the first country songs in America, and the most researched folk song in America. Hammermen or steel drivers sang the song to keep a rhythm while they worked, which made the steel drivers more efficient and the shakers a little more safe on a dangerous job. According to Scott Reynolds Nielsen and his book on the subject, there is still a statue of John Henry at the Big Bend Tunnel, even though steam engines were never used there, because by the time work began on that tunnel, the flaws in how the steam drills reacted to the debris made them unappealing to the foreman. Needless to say, though, they still kind of think that that's the tunnel where John Henry actually did his race, even though steam engines were never used there, which is why they put a big statue of him at the beginning of that tunnel. Nielsen, however, thinks that the Lewis Tunnel is a much more likely place for John Henry to have had his famous race. It was dug by the Chesapeake and Ohio Company, or C&O Railway, in the 1870s, and it's a better fit for the John Henry story. There's even a laborer named John Henry on the books during the time period. John Henry was just 19 years old, in contrast to 30 years old in the stories, and was leased to the C&O Railway by a local prison to work as a laborer. This John Henry was a former slave who was imprisoned with a 10-year sentence for a theft of less than $20. Also, according to Nielsen, while a few more than 300 men were leased to the C&O Railway, by the end of the project, more than 150 of these laborers would be dead. Some of them passed away due to injuries from such a dangerous job, which is to be expected, but most of these were actually thought to have died due to silicosis. This is when the tiny particles of dust and sand are inhaled to excess. These particles are heavy compared to the air that the lungs are built for, so rather than being exhaled, they settle into the lungs, blocking the bronchioles and making breathing difficult and eventually impossible. Nielsen's research implies that it would be likely that since John Henry would be inhaling these particles for months or even years, the final extreme push he makes while racing the steam drill may have resulted in death by silicosis and its damage. This means that his death would have been much more similar to drowning or suffocation rather than the heart failure as he tends to pass away of in the song. His book also places him at around 5 feet tall rather than around 6 feet tall, as this was much more common and beneficial for someone working in a compact environment like the tunnels. Nevertheless, the real John Henry was said to outshine his peers in the same way he does in the legend, and Nielsen gives us some evidence that the race of the drills really did happen. While his story may be a mostly true one, I'm sure you've noticed a sad tone to all of these tall tales. While Pecos Bill eventually left his home in the Southwest and Paul Bunyan left his home in the Midwest because of population and modernization, here we look to the Southeast and struggle with John Henry and wonder if his victory was just stalling the inevitable. John is quoted as saying, "If I can't beat this steam drill down, I'll die with this hammer in my hand." And it makes me wonder what he would think about the place machines have taken in our lives. I'm currently listening to my dishwasher and talking to my computer. Our grocery stores have self-checkout, and restaurants have kiosks to order at instead of servers. Machines are not only becoming a matter of convenience, but are becoming a bigger and bigger part of our lives and how we spend our time. To a degree, we all require them to survive. Can you wake up on time for work without your phone or alarm clock? Can you do your job at all without any machines? How do you entertain yourself? How do you spend your time? Instead of buying blue light blocking lenses, why don't you put the phone down and turn the TV off, close the computer, light a candle or sit in the sun, and enjoy a book or a board game? Daydream, go for a walk, swim, explore. We now know that unlike Paul Bunyan and Pecos Bill, John Henry was a real man. A real man who really gave his life to keep man in his rightful place over machines. When I hear his story, I wonder what John Henry would think of our lives today and how we have embraced machines. How would he feel about the major part that they play in our lives? Don't forget to take a break from screens today and enjoy some machine-free time in your life.